Kings, chapter 1. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. I want to read just one verse to you, although we're going to cover 38 verses this morning. I usually preach for about an hour and a half if you're new here, so just joking. But let me just read verse 38 to you this morning. Well, let me start with verse 37, where the angel replies, and he says, "For with God nothing will be impossible." And then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me." Say that with me. "Let it be to me." Just one more time. "Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So as we are now there, and I know the offering is still being taken, but just bear with me as we go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pause just for a moment. Father, we thank you for this busy, busy Sunday. We thank you for those that are in the overflow room that gave up their chairs for the parents and so forth, Lord. Bless them. And Father, bless the offering that's being taken right now for the little children in Mexico, every little boy, every little girl. And Lord, what an honor it is to be a provider for them, for their protection, Lord, to teach them and about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So bless us as we give this morning for that, Lord. And bless your word this morning that you've exalted above your very name. Somehow, some way, as you always do, Father, help me to say the things, the exact things that you want me to say. And may every heart be opened and may every need be met in this chapel and those that are listening live as well. Lord, be so real to us right now. Embrace your sheep, Lord, and touch them in the area of their need. And speaking of those in need, Lord, we just continue to lift up Dave Wiebe to you, Father, and Danny and Lowell, and Lord Barbara Davis, and all the ones that are ill. We just ask you to touch them and strengthen them and bless us now in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. I hope that everyone has turned to Luke's gospel, and I know also that the offering there is still being taken. Thank you for all the confusion today. But with all that being said, in 10 days, we're going to be celebrating the most important birth in the history of mankind, and that is, of course, our Savior. You know what's wonderful about the gospel of Luke? If you really, really study it out, did you know that only Luke records the songs or the hymns for Christmas? Only Luke does that. Matter of fact, only Luke gives us the most lengthy account, if you will, of the virgin birth. And there are 20 miracles that are recorded in Luke, and 6 of those are not in the other Gospels. There's 20 parables, but 18 of them are only found here and no place else in the Gospel. So Luke is an exciting book. Matter of fact, Luke, the Gospel of Luke, is the longest of all the Gospels, even though it only has 24 chapters. Matthew has 28, but there are more words and verses in Luke than any other of the Gospels. So written by that beloved physician, as Paul called him, who traveled with Paul, Luke. And if you study out Luke, what's amazing is that Luke was the writer of not only the third Gospel, but of the book of Acts as well. That makes him, he wrote 28% of the New Testament, second only to Paul. Think about that. And what's really amazing is that Luke was not a Jew. Luke was a Gentile, probably a Greek. He was a scholar. He was a very learned man, a very educated man. And what's amazing about all of this is that he never met Jesus. He may have met the resurrected Jesus, we don't know, but he never saw Jesus in his earthly ministry. If he did, it's not recorded at all. Matter of fact, chapters 9 through 19 in the book of Luke give us more information that's not found in any of the other Gospels. We don't know when it was written. We certainly don't know where it was written from, but we do know why it was written. It was written to tell us all about Jesus and his humanity, and that Jesus, that he was born to what? To come and live among sinners, to love sinners, and to die for sinners. That's us. Amen. Matter of fact, that's the key verse, Luke 19:10, that Jesus, he came to seek and save those which are lost. So with all that being said this morning, I want us to focus in. Our main text is going to be verse 38, but I'll be there shortly. But let's begin in verse 1 and look at what's happening. It says, "Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative, those things which have fulfilled among us," meaning the events of Jesus' life, "just as those who were from the beginning," now watch what they were, "they were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered to us, it seemed good to me also," Luke says, "having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first." From the very first can also be translated from above, speaking of the divine inspiration of God given to Luke to write this account, okay? So from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, and to most excellent Theophilus. Theophilus means lover of God or friend of God. "That you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed." So the very brief introduction, isn't that amazing? That's all those verses, four verses, it's one single sentence in the Greek. Matter of fact, if you've ever been to seminary, some of you out here have, and you studied out Greek, you know, and so forth, you know that you never start in Luke. You start in John. John is very simple to learn the Greek language and that. But boy, Luke, he speaks in high, high Greek, okay? And very educated man. And he's writing to a person called Theophilus, and he says he's most excellent, meaning he's probably a Roman citizen, a nobleman. We're just not for sure. But he says, "I was an eyewitness." That's a medical term. Luke is a doctor. We get our English word autopsy from that. So what Luke is saying as he opens up this incredible gospel to us, he said, "Listen, I have performed an autopsy on all the facts about Jesus Christ." And he uses the word to Theophilus. He said, "Certainly," meaning the exact truth. Everything that you're about to read in the gospel of Luke is the exact perfect truth. It happened just like this. And he said, "You can build your life on it, Theophilus. You can depend upon it," and so forth. And then he said, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea." You know who he was. He was that wicked king that killed the babies, remember, there in Bethlehem at the birth of Christ. And he says, "And a certain priest named Zacharias, the division of Abijah, his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth." And look what they were. "They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless." So they loved each other. They loved the Lord. He was a priest. They both were, he was a Levite. She was of the tribe of Aaron. And it says, "But they had no child." And the reason? Because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well advanced in years. To be barren in Israel during that time is a reproach. In other words, it's shameful. If you looked at verse 25, it would show you that God had taken away her reproach. So Zacharias and Elizabeth, listen carefully. They were at the end of their lives. But you know, I don't think God ever looks at it like that. That, well, we're at the end of our life. Because see, we're going to live forever and ever and ever. Amen? We're going to be with the Lord forever. But you know what? I can promise you, they were not expecting anything to happen. It would be like this. You know, we're sitting there watching a Dallas Cowboy game. We're watching them lose, okay? And we're sitting in our lazy boy, and we've got the little thing there, and we're just, you know, just saying, well, it's just usual Sunday afternoon or Monday night or whenever they play. And, you know, it's the same old thing. Nothing's going to happen in this life, and then boom, something does. You know what? They were not expecting anything to happen in their lives. They just said, well, we're at the end of our lives. We both love one another. We both love the Lord. We want to keep the commandments of the Lord, and so forth. You know what? You don't know what's going to happen to you today. You do not know what God's going to do for you today. Don't give up. You know, sometimes we just wait and wait and wait, and we think God doesn't care. God doesn't care, but he does. You don't know what God's going to do for each of you in 2014. I pray that you live an expectant life, that you don't forget the supernaturalness, the hereness, and the nowness of God. So it says, "And so it was, and while Zacharias, was serving as priest before God in the order of his division." 1 Chronicles 24 gives us a list of all the divisions of priests, and they could only serve they had 2 weeks of service once a year to give to the priesthood there at the temple, working at the temple. So there he was, at the temple according to the custom of the priesthood. And look what happened. His lot, they cast lots for it. His lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. So the priest would go in daily. 9 a.m. was the morning offering of incense. 3 p.m. would be the afternoon. The people were all waiting outside because whenever Zacharias would come outside, he would then pronounce the numbers, I think it's chapter 5, the priestly blessing over the people that were waiting for him to come out. But what's interesting about this, the burning of incense, listen carefully now, in the life of a priest could only happen one time in their lives. To go there into the Holy of Holies, or right in front of the Holy of Holies, there's the beautiful drapes, the cherubim are there, and there in front is that altar of incense, incense always speaking of the prayers of the people. The hot coals were there, and he would go in, and he would drop the incense, and all the smoke would arise, and the aroma and the fragrance would just fill the room. It was a beautiful time. Only one time could he ever do that, and then something happened. Look carefully at verse 11. And then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense, and when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard." Let's stop right there. Your prayer is heard. You know, I just told you a moment ago that the altar of incense right before the Holy of Holies, okay, where the presence of God was, the Ark of the Covenant, that's where the prayers ascended before God. He says, your prayer's heard, Zacharias. Yes, your prayer is heard. Well, what prayer was he praying? Well, he was praying for the redemption of Israel. That's what they did. They were praying for the peace, safety, redemption of Israel. But the angel says, Zacharias, listen to me. Your personal prayer is heard. And I look at this, and what was it? And your wife, Elizabeth, who could not have children, she was barren. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear a girl? No, will bear a son, and you shall call his name God is Gracious. In other words, John. How would you like, are you with child right now? Would you like to have a baby? Would you like it? How would you like it if an angel just came to you and cleared it all up and says, well, here's when it's going to happen. This is what you're going to call him. You know what I'm saying? That would be pretty cool to me. I'd love for an angel to appear in my prayer room every morning and say, hey, Bill, your prayer has been heard. I go, praise God. Even though I know it's heard, but I mean, it's been answered. That's what that means. Your prayer is answered. Now listen, have you ever noticed prayer, you heard me say so often, prayer is the work. Persistent, passionate, ongoing prayer. Believing what God says, going to the throne of grace by the blood of Jesus, knowing that we have access to our Father in heaven, that he loves us, that he cares for us, that he's numbered every hair on our head. But it seems like sometimes our prayers, even though we know they're heard, it seems like they're never being answered. You know, it says your prayer is heard. May I say something to you? It seems to me that sometimes prayer comes to us, or our answered prayer comes, when we're absolutely helpless. Meaning that, like here, Elizabeth was barren. They're both, Zacharias and Elizabeth, they're both well advanced in years. I mean, they even though they'd been praying for a baby, the fact of the matter is, I think they had probably given up on that prayer because they're very old. You understand what I'm saying? There's something about praying and standing in prayer. It's like I told the first service, you know, in my prayer list this morning, for example, I have a couple that do not go to church here that I have been praying for 10 straight years. Every morning I pray a specific prayer for this couple. I finally was thinking about it this morning, and I said, you know what, I'm going to call them on Monday, and I'm going to say, has God done anything? Because, I mean, it's been 10 years, folks, okay? I mean, you know, give me a break. And I start thinking about this, and you know, God doesn't forget our prayers. He's right on time all the time, okay? So watch this. There is Zacharias, and Gabriel, this angel, says to Zacharias, he said, now let me tell you about this boy, this little baby that you're going to call God is Gracious, or you're going to call John. And it says, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of man. No, He'll be great in the sight of the government. He'll be great in the sight of King Herod. He'll be great in the sight of the religious community. No, what to have a son, to have a daughter that's going to be great in the sight of God. Amen. Is there anything better than that? He says, oh, he's going to be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. What are we going to do about that? From his mother's womb, filled with the Holy Spirit, this child called John. Think about that for a moment. I wonder if Zacharias, did he even understand what that meant? He says, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will also go before him, meaning the forerunner of Jesus Christ, clearing the way, preparing the way. And he goes forth in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. In other words, he comes, remember, what does he say? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Would you say that is an incredible calling? It's a true calling, unbelievable. And I could even add to that, he was kind of a smart dresser, wouldn't you say? You know, he was dressed, remember, camel hair, leather belt and so forth. He had an incredible diet, you know, locust and wild honey. I mean, think about that for a minute. And so we look at this and say, oh, he's going to be great. John is a miracle baby. He's the one who's going to baptize Jesus Christ. He's the one that's going to say, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's the one that's going to see the Spirit of God descending upon Jesus like a dove and hear the voice of the Lord God in heaven where he says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He's the one who's going to lose his head for his cousin. Jesus is the cousin of John. He's 6 months older, as we will find out later on. And so Zacharias, listen, I don't know how you would feel, but if somebody would lay out a paragraph for me about children that were going to be born to my family, I go, praise God, what a word from God. I mean, you would think that Zacharias should be just bouncing, tambourine, you know what I'm saying? I mean, just bouncing off the walls with joy, you know, and so forth, and praising the Lord. He says, boy, your prayer is finally heard, Zacharias, even though you're old. And you would think he'd be filled with faith. But look at it. He says, and Zacharias said to the angel, how? Say that with me. How? Isn't that a terrible word? That's a terrible word right there. He says, how shall I know this? If you read that in the Greek, okay, it would basically be almost this. I don't believe you. I don't believe you. See, what he's asking for, he's asking, so I need a sign. I need some proof that this word is true. And here's why. He says, for I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. Now listen, Zacharias just heard 135 words from an angel sent by God to him for a specific reason and a specific purpose. 135 words giving a description of what's going to happen, what his son will do, and what's going to happen in the future. And you know what? I would think that we would be excited about that. That he should be rejoicing about that, but he wasn't. How often do you read the word and it's something that's written about you, pertaining to you, how God loves you, how he's numbered, like I said a moment ago, every hair upon your head. He knows everything about you. He knows every thought that you're thinking. Is there something that stirs in you when you read the living word of God and you say, oh God, you're so good. You mean you think about me? Your thoughts to me are more than the sands of the sea. You mean you think about me all the time? Yes. Do you know that there's not a minute that God isn't thinking about you? There's not a second that you're not in his heart. There's not a time that God doesn't know exactly what you're facing and exactly what you're going through, and he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, you're so good. But Zacharias, what does he go? He said, I just don't know how this is going to happen. He says, you know, angel, Mr. Angel, do you need some glasses? I mean, you got some, you don't have earth vision. Do you not see me? Look at me. I'm an old, old man. And look at my wife. And that was a kind way about, you know, well advanced in years. Huh? That's why I'm going to use that. Well, she's just well advanced in years. No, I mean, he was going, listen, have you seen her? Check her out, would you? You know, I mean, I don't remember correctly, but I think she might be older than me. You know, he's saying there's just no way this is going to work. Listen, there is a sad time when we as Christians, as we as believers that are sealed by the Spirit, that are filled with the Spirit, that have the ability to walk in the Spirit, when we stop believing in the supernatural. When we stop being expectant. God's not through with you. How old are you? Say, well, I'm 100 years. Well, God's not through with you. You know, the Bible says it doesn't say to count our birthdays. It says to number our days that we might apply our heart toward wisdom. To serve the Lord. I mean, Moses was 80 years old. Hello, when God used him. Think about that for a minute. I mean, here I am, only 25, and he's using me. I look and I say, dear Lord. So he says, how is this going to happen? And I, you know, in other words, look at my body, look at my wife. And you know what? We're all guilty of that. And we need to break that horrible, ungodly habit. We need to stop looking at situations and start living and looking to the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. Amen. In other words, you know, we say, well, look at my bank account. Well, look at it. It's just a bunch of numbers. That's all. Yeah, but there's few numbers. Matter of fact, now we're in the negative numbers, Bill. You know what? God can change all that. God is supernatural. Amen? He can take care of you. He knows exactly what you need. Yeah, but Bill, you don't understand. You know, look at my life. Okay, well, what about it? Well, you're a new creation now. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Yeah, but you don't understand. Look at my hurt or this divorce is horrible. He left me or she left me. And look at my addictions. Look at me. God says, look at my son. Look at my son. He bore your sin. He bore my sin. Look at Jesus. Listen to me now. Physical limitations in our life never limits God. Man, he can take anybody. You know, I mean, listen, remember Balaam's ass, his jackass? Did he speak through him? Well, he can use any jackass. Amen? I mean, come on. No, I'm just saying. I mean, he can, God can do anything. I didn't say that exactly the way I wanted to. But if God can use Balaam's donkey, he can use me. He can use you. Amen. There's nothing too hard for God. And that's one of our problems. We start focusing on us. We look inwardly. We look at me and listen, quit that. And that's what was wrong with Zacharias. And look what happened to him in verse 19. And the angel answered and said to him, well, Zacharias, why have you been praying for a baby if you don't want one, if you don't believe God's going to do anything? Look what he says. And the angel answered and said to Zacharias, I'm Gabriel. Don't you love that? How would you like an angel to look you right in the face, especially Gabriel? I'm Gabriel. That means the word means warrior of God. I'm a warrior of God, Zacharias. I don't know what I could only see the expression in my mind. You know, he says, I am Gabriel and I stand in the presence of God. And he's rebuking him. He says, I was sent to you to speak to you, to bring you what? These good news, these glad tidings. I brought you all of this. I brought you this great news. And you are unbelieving. Behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day of these things take place. And here's the reason why. Because you did not what? You did not believe. You did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Whether you like it or not, this is going to come to pass. So Gabriel says to Zacharias, okay, here's the deal. You wanted a sign? Okay, here's the sign. You're not going to be able to talk for about 9 months, okay? Because that's the time, you understand. He said, you're not going to be able to talk for 9 months. Verse 62 implies that he was also not even able to hear. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he couldn't speak to them. And they perceived that he'd seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was as the days of his service were completed, and he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked at me to take away my shame, my reproach among people. Now, 6 months later, we're going to move from Jerusalem to Nazareth now. Nazareth. He says, now in the sixth month of the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a what? Virgin. Virgin. That's very important. A virgin betrothed. And remember, a betrothal, when a person is betrothed, it's an engagement, if you will, a very serious engagement. Because even though they are not married, they're certainly not living together, but they cannot break that unless they divorce. That's how serious that was. So she was betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Isn't that amazing? Luke says it twice now. He's a doctor. He ought to know what he's talking about. It says the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. And he tells us why. He says, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. You know, no greater honor has ever been bestowed upon a woman like Mary. Wouldn't you agree with that? How unbelievable is the Lord there, this little 16, maybe 17 year old girl there, and the angel comes to her. I agree with Mary because down in verse 48, she says, and all generations will call me blessed. And I'll tell you what, we have to call her blessed. I agree with her 100%. We should love Mary. We should respect Mary because she was definitely highly, highly favored by the Lord. And I agree with what Gabriel said. You know, Gabriel said, blessed are you among women. Mary is blessed among women, but not above women. Amen. It's very important that we see that. And you know what? What is true of Mary is true of every born-again believer. In other words, she was highly favored of the Lord. May I ask you if you're highly favored of the Lord? Absolutely. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:6 that we are accepted in the beloved, meaning Jesus. As you've heard me say often from this pulpit, that Ephesians 1:6 means this: God loves you just as much as he loves his own son, Jesus Christ. Well, we're highly favored of the Lord. Matter of fact, it says, and Mary says, and the Lord is with you. Is the Lord with us? Yes. Jesus told us in Matthew 28:20, he says, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. And then he says, amen, meaning it is certain. How about, are we blessed? Oh my gosh. Mary was blessed. Are we blessed? Ephesians 1:3, that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus our Lord. They all belong to the believer. They all belong to us. And I look and I say, oh Lord, you're so good. And when she saw him, the angel, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Savior. Savior. That's what the name Jesus means. Yeshua. Savior. You know, I'm so thankful that Jesus is our Savior. Matter of fact, it says in chapter 2, verse 11, for there's born unto you this day in the city of David, there it is, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Remember whenever Mary told, when Joseph found out that Mary was with child, and he was thinking about putting her away privately because, you know, he didn't understand what had happened because, and so forth. And so remember, the angel appeared unto Joseph. And you know what the angel said to Joseph? It told us in Matthew 1:21, the angel said, Joseph, she will bring forth a son. You, Joseph, you're going to call his name Jesus, Savior, because he will save his people from their sins. That which separates every person ever born, sin from God. Aren't you glad that Jesus has paid the penalty for our sins, that he took them? Amen. And so he says, Mary, listen, you imagine naming your child Jesus. Now listen, meaning, can you imagine naming your child and giving him a name that is not only above every name ever named, but at that name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every tongue. That means every person ever born. One day when we all meet for the judgment, every tongue will confess. Amen. Think about that we have been given. Mary, you're going to give your child a name. His name is Jesus. And you know what? He's not only, that name is going to be the only name under heaven by which a man, a woman, a child can be saved and must be saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Oh, Mary, listen, not only that, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, meaning the Son of God, meaning he's going to be equal with God. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father, David. He's going to be a king. He's going to fulfill the covenant that God made with King David. Remember in 2 Samuel chapter 7. And he says, and he will reign over the house of Jacob. How long? Now, you know what? We just read that so easily. But I don't want this to pass you by. Let me read it again. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary, your son is going to have a kingdom, and his kingdom will never, never, never end. That's Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, by the way. Now listen very carefully. I want to ask you a question. Mary's virgin birth, was it literal? Of course. Is it true? Yes. Is the word of God true? Okay, we are living in a time right now, and I don't want to get off my sermon here, but we're living in a time when the nation of Israel is being attacked on all sides. We're living in a time when many of churches in the world, especially American churches, no longer view Israel as anything in the eyes of God. It just said right here, it says that he will reign over the house of Jacob, that's the house of Israel, the nation of Israel. How long? Forever. Now listen, that means that God is not finished with Israel. If the virgin birth, that's right, amen. If the virgin birth was literal, then so is God's covenant. Now listen, there are those today, they teach that the church has replaced Israel. No. The church has not replaced God's everlasting covenant with the nation of Israel. We must remember that. And then Mary said to the angels, said, oh, well, how can this be? Just like Zacharias. How can this be since I don't know a man? Now listen, what's the difference between what Zacharias said and what Mary said? Well, Mary is not operating in unbelief or lack of faith here. She's asking a very legitimate question. She's a 16, 17-year-old girl, and she just says, now wait a minute. How's this going to happen? Because the last time I checked, in order to have a child, you have to be married with a man. Do you understand what I'm saying? So she's saying, by what method is this going to happen? Do you know that Mary was the first person to ever question the virgin birth? Think about that. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will rest. The Holy Spirit will rest, come upon you, and the power of the Highest will cover you like a cloud. That's what it means, to cover you like a cloud, like the Shekinah glory of God. It will overshadow you. In other words, it's not going to be by man, Mary. It's going to be by a divine action from heaven. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of Joseph. No, not the son of any man, but the Son of God. Listen, Jesus did not become. Jesus has always been. Amen? He's the pre-existent Christ. He's always been. He's always been. Now, how would you like to, Mary, listen, you're going to have a son. The Holy Spirit is the power from the high, going to overshadow you. And matter of fact, he's going to be the Son of the living God. He's going to be the Son of the God who created all things. And he's going to be special. He is going to be the Holy One. Now, that's not a title. That means he's going to be sinless. I don't know how we can even imagine it. But listen, can you imagine holding? You know, I remember when Thomas was born, I was there in the room with him. And the moment that he was delivered, the doctor handed him to me. And I lifted him up just like this and proclaimed him. I said, Lord, Use him all the days of his life. Use him. I dedicate him to you. Whatever you want him to be, Lord, I give him to you. And you know what? But there wasn't a time when I was holding him that I said, he's a sinless little baby. He proved it, believe me. Do you understand? I never went, oh, he is sinless, you know, he's perfect, and he's never thought sin, never do sin. No, listen, Jesus, when Mary held him, wrapped him in swaddling cloths there when he was born in that feed trough, in that manger, as we're going to learn next week. Listen to me now. She was holding the perfect, spotless, sinless Son of God. He was now the God man, the God baby, 100% God, 100% male, man. Amen. He is the God man. And I look at that and I say, oh Lord, listen, Mary, your Son, the Holy One, he will never know sin. Mary, your Son will not only not know sin, 1 Peter 1:22, he will not do any sin. Matter of fact, Mary, as it says in the book of Hebrews, this baby is a body that God has prepared. You know why Jesus was born? Jesus was born so he could grow up and be executed. Executed. Murdered on a cross. He grew up so he could take our place. He who knew no sin became sin. He took our place. He took God's wrath. He took God's judgment. The judgment that belonged to us, any punishment there that belonged to us, he took each and everything. He took it all just for you and just for me and for all the world. The only way to really get in on that, though, is to receive Jesus as your Lord. Amen. To have that forgiveness. And now, indeed, look what happens. Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month. She's 6 months pregnant now for her, who was called barren. But boy, she's not barren anymore. Why? For with God, nothing will be impossible. I tell you something. I pray that's a today word for some of you. With God. Not with you. Not with your education, not with your finances, not with your ability, but with God. Nothing will be impossible to you. And matter of fact, I pray that we all make that a today word throughout 2014. Oh, with God, we can do anything. And then here it is. Here's our text. And then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Do you see that exclamation mark? She shouted that out to Gabriel. Behold, here, look, she said, here I am. I am just a maidservant. That's the lowest kind of servant, almost like a slave. Said, listen, I am here. Here is my body. I believe everything you're saying. Just here I am. Do whatever you want to do. And look how I know that. Look what she said. Let it be. Say that with me. Let it be to me. How? According to thy word. And look what the angel did. The moment that she said that, he said, my job is over. My mission has been accomplished. I am through. I am going back to heaven. I'm going back to be in the presence of God. It says the angel departed from her. Here's my encouragement to you this morning. Let us be like Mary. Every day. In other words, oh God, let it be to me. Put your name right there. Let it be to Bill. Let it be to me. Let it be to me according to your word. I believe with all of my heart that the moment that Mary said, let it be to me according to thy word, the moment that she said that, I believe the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. I'm not saying she felt anything, saw anything. I'm just saying I believe at that moment she became with child. And I look at that and I say, oh, it happened when she believed. When she believed. Did you know that God's word will do you no good if you don't believe it? No. Amen. You listen, my life scripture, John 8:32, you shall know the truth will set you free. Listen, if you can know the truth all day long, but if you don't believe the truth, there's a difference between knowing something and believing something. Amen? Come on. You have to apply it. You've got to believe it. Mary was so excited. She said, let it be to me right now. Let it be to me according to your word. I'm going to ask you a question. Why don't we, or maybe some of us do, why don't we just get excited and say, did you hear what God just said about me? He said, I'm the apple of his eye. Can you believe that? Can you believe what God, let it be to me, Lord, according to your word. In other words, it's time for the 21st century anemic church, and we are falling at the wayside, decreasing in numbers, living for the world instead of living for God. Isn't it time for maybe someone in the church, some church to rise up and say, you know what, let it be to me according to your word. Jesus, you said, I am the light of the world. That's what Jesus said. He looked out there on the Sermon on the Mount over all these people and oh, I've got plenty of time. So I'm starting to rush. I can slow down. It's like the Lord said, slow down, Bill. It's getting good. Okay. No, listen. Where we say, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Jesus said, I'm the light. I'm the salt of the earth. Oh, let it be to me according to your word. Amen? Where we really believe it in our hearts. See, we were sinners. We were lost, but he found us. He saved us. We're co-heirs with Christ. We need to believe what the word of God says. Listen to me now. Mary, was she carrying the sinless, spotless Son of the living God in her? All right, now listen. I'm going to ask you a question. Are we carrying, each of us who are born from above, are we carrying in us the sinless, spotless, living, all-powerful, all-knowing Son of God, Jesus Christ, in us? Yes. Listen. Colossians 1:27. Christ where? Christ in you. Christ in me. The hope of glory. That word Christ in, it means Christ himself. He's in us right now. Oh, and I started thinking, I'm just like Mary. Oh, greater is he, 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in me than he that's in this world. 1 John 4:17, as he is, as Jesus is, so are we right now in this world. Do you believe that? Let it be to me according to your word. The life of Christ, the giftings of Christ, the power of Christ, the love of God that he shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who's been given to us abides in us. We're carrying Jesus through this dark world. We have the answer to every lost person. We have the answer right here. Whenever Paul was writing to the church at Galatia, He said, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. It is not I who lives, but it is what? Who? Christ who what? Lives in me. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He lives in me. Jesus is in me. That's why we need to say, oh, listen, we need to say, let it be to me like Mary. Oh, let it be to me according to your word. And I tell you, Jesus, I believe, is waiting for his body, the church. Just saying, rise up and believe the word of God. There's so many Christians today. Listen, you come and you come to Christ. Boy, you're on fire for 5 months. Or maybe you've been here, you've been a Christian for 50 years, and you don't even have a flame left, okay? And you say, I know the word, but nothing's happening anymore. Let it be to me according to thy word, O God. Do you believe that God's working in your life? Listen, he is. It says in Philippians 1:6, he who began a what? Say it again. Good work. There's a good work going on in you. He who began a good work in you, listen to what God's going to do, it will complete it until the very day of Christ. Oh, Lord, let it be to me according to your word. But you don't know what I'm going through. I've got so many imperfections. Psalm 138:8. The Lord will perfect those things concerning you. Ha, ha. You understand? You can't beat the word. Oh, you say, but Bill, you don't understand. Look what I did in my life. I know I've come to Christ, but look at my past. Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no judgment, no condemnation to those who are what? In Christ Jesus. See, let it be to me according to thy word. Yeah, but I'm fighting all these battles. Well, Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:37, for we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen? More than conquerors. Listen, but you don't know I have all these needs. Well, then let it be to me according to thy word, O God. That he will, what does it say? Provide my needs according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Every need. Yeah, but I don't have much strength. Well, the Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, let it be to me, O God, according to your word. Folks, listen. I don't need to just quote scriptures after scriptures. But you know, when I run across a believer that feels like they don't have enough, it hurts me because Jesus is enough. You see, it says in Colossians 2:10, it says, and ye are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. You see, it's easy to quote that, but do you believe that? Do you really believe that? See, that Mary believed the word of God. Here we are. Jesus is living as we're carrying him through this life. Remember what Jesus said? He said, listen, in Mark 1:17, he said, what? Follow me. Follow me. I don't know that there's any person on earth I would care to follow. You understand? That I would care to serve. But Jesus said, follow me. He said, deny yourself. Take up the cross. Follow me. Serve me. Do what I tell you to do. Raise your family my way. Pray, believe, give, support. Follow me. And he says, if you will follow me, if you will travel with me, here's what Jesus said. He said, I will make you fishers of men. Lord, let it be to me. Let it be to Calvary Chapel according to thy word. Amen. Boy, that's what we need to do. You know something? You know, one of my favorite scriptures, I believe it's Psalm 59. But I quote this often. Sometimes I wake up quoting it. You know, this I know. God is for me. When everyone may against me, when everyone may leave you, and you feel helpless and hopeless, I'm telling you that God is for you. Amen. You know, I remember years ago, and I'm closing, don't get restless. I remember years ago, I mean, I guess it could be nearly 30 years ago. Or maybe it wasn't quite that long because I was in between pastorates. And I heard a pastor preach on this text. And I remember he said, and he wasn't one that was given to singing or anything, but he said, you know what? He said, the Lord gave me a song. And he said, it comes right from this text. And I'll never forget that. And he never published it or anything like that, you know. But he said this. He said, in his song, he went, the Lord is working mightily in me. He started singing that. The Lord is working mightily in me. And he just kept singing that. And then he said, no matter what the circumstances, what I feel or see, thy word is working mightily in me. I wrote that down when I heard that sermon. And there are times when I'm alone that I will sit there and sing it much better than I did just then. And I will sing it to myself. And I will say, oh, Lord, when I feel like I'm failing, when I feel like I'm not going to go forward enough, and I'll just start worship him and say, oh, Lord, your word is working mightily in me. No matter the circumstances, no matter what I feel or see, your word is working mightily in me. Let it be to me according to thy word. Let that be a word to you today and throughout 2014. Amen. Jesus, the whole book of Luke is about his humanity, Jesus' humanity. Like Jesus said in Luke 19:10, he said, the Son of Man has come to seek. If you don't know Jesus Christ this morning, listen to me. He wants you. He's seeking you out. If you're listening right now, you're listening live. Maybe you're in your car, maybe wherever you are. Listen very carefully. He wants you. He came to seek and to do something else and to save that which is lost. Now listen, if you're lost, here's the good news. Jesus is willing and desiring to save you. Father, we thank you this morning. In Jesus' name for your word. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus' birth. We thank you for the word of God that we can cling to and trust in and rely upon. The integrity of your word, oh God, that we can build our lives, our homes, and our families and our marriages upon. There's no one like you. You are indeed the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we love you and we praise you in this house called Calvary Chapel. And Lord, if there's anyone here this morning, and they've never asked Jesus Christ to come into their heart. Maybe they're in the overflow room or maybe they're listening live. Then I encourage every one of you, if you don't know Christ, then right now, just cry out to him. Say, oh God, save me. Forgive me. Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart. Save me right now. You pray that and God will save you where you are. Now, Lord, thank you for our little children. Oh, what a blessing. In Jesus' name we pray and we give you the honor and glory, and the church says,